Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Can we be there?
And we're back. We're back, baby.
We're back.
Sprinted back here from Dove Valley, reacting to Joe Flacco, Kareem Jackson, Juwan James. Stoke, I don't want to get caught up in sentiment and be a prisoner of the moment, but my natural reaction here is, after speaking to these guys personally, I'm just a lot more optimistic. I love the moves, but I'm more optimistic now.
I'm more optimistic about Joe because I just didn't know what his mindset was going to be. And I understand he's going to come up there and tell us nothing but good things, right? I mean, that's what we expected. But just to see his energy and to see that he plans on playing for, you know, a while now. It doesn't seem like this thing is coming to end anytime soon. That's his plan. So I think he still has a passion for it. I think he's excited about this opportunity. The other two guys, look, I feel the same about them as I did when we picked those guys up. I think they're upgrades. I think they're going to help us. But I didn't really take anything that they said and just was like, okay, I want to see it. I want to see it. You go out there and play. You do it. Those guys are pros. They're vets. They know how to handle the media. They're going to say all the right things. But they are upgrades. I was already optimistic about those two. I was already very optimistic about Juwan James and Kareem Jackson. So for me, those two didn't really do anything for me by what they said. I did enjoy talking with them. Thought they did a good job, but I was already optimistic about those two.
I think maybe I should clarify, because I think maybe I come off as like we talked to them and now I think they're going to be even better than they are. No, it's not so much that, but some of the stuff that Joe said and one of the things that Juwan James said specifically have me more optimistic. Let me explain.
Okay.
Joe saying, look, if you think that I'm going to be just motivated by the Ravens, I'm motivated by being a great pro. I love football. You're going to have to drag me out of here. Said, you're going to have to hopefully drag me out of this facility. I didn't hear that from Joe. I didn't know that was Joe Flacco's sentiment. And I didn't really know what, like, I knew he was going to say all the right things. I didn't know he was going to say that. And then with the Juwan James, the reason I said that about him was going to the Mike Munchak question. And look, you just got paid. You're the highest paid right tackle in the history of the sport. Are you still willing to be coached? You know, and him saying his answer to that question, I love the way he went about it. And he let me peek into his mindset. And that mindset is a rock solid one that'll take him farther than he's already gotten as a professional.
Yeah, I like those two points that you made there. And I did. I liked everything. I liked how Joe handled the press conference. I liked everything he said. Those are the things I wanted to hear from him. Juwan James and the questions about him. You know, there's been questions about him. How competitive is he? We've heard him. They overpaid for him, and he's not worth that much money.
Does he love football?
Is he a competitor? And, you know, we'll see on all those things. He said the right things. I think he has a really good, obviously, a relationship with Chris Cooper, the assistant offensive line coach. I think that's going to help his transition, like he said. And also think Mike Munchak will help him. And I think the scheme will help him. I think he is a really good fit. John Elway has said that a few times now about Juwan James and the fit in this scheme, because he is an athletic right tackle. He's not the mauler type of guy. Not saying he can't, but that's not what he does best. He can move. He's athletic. Garrett Bowles, same thing. He's not a mauler, but he can move. He's athletic. So, you know, get the best out of your guys. And I think this type of zone stretch running game will make those guys better. The system will make them better.
Juwan James is physically impressive. I mean, like, it looked like someone like created a football player in a petri dish, and you made the cracky. Yeah, he doesn't look like the guys who are walking around our studio. I mean, this dude, Juwan James, his arms hang. They hang down like by his knees and his chest. I mean, this dude is put together. This dude is, he is physically impressive.
I mean, you want your tackles to have long arms.
Sure.
I mean, that's part of, I mean, what are they saying about the guy from Alabama? Short arms. Yeah. Short arms.
Yeah, like an eighth of an inch short.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, long arms is part of it, right? Reach those guys. But he definitely looks the part. You talk about lean, you know, good looking tackle, not one of those big, mauler type, look, can this guy move?
Right.
Type of offensive lineman. No, this guy is an athlete. He is.
And you could see the personal characteristics of Juwan James that we heard from folks in Miami. Like, great dude. Like, rock solid guy.
Great in the locker room.
Yep. And you could see those personal characteristics from him. The Flacco portion of the mid-morning was my favorite. I walk away with an understanding that this is the plan, and I don't think there's another plan. This is it. And I heard Pritchard and Cecil sort of talking about this a little bit on the drive over. This is John's guy. This is plan A. I don't know if there's a plan B. I think this is the guy moving forward here, not like for 2 or 3 years or a lot. Like, if John could have it his way, I think he's a quarterback here for the next 5, 6 seasons.
Oh, yeah, of course. Look, I mean, what are the other options right now? John doesn't want to draft anybody. John would love it to be Joe Flacco for the next 3 years and then after that. But just like with anything, time will tell.
Yeah.
I mean, if Joe doesn't play good this year, then they'll be back looking for another quarterback the following year, just like they did with Case Keenum. So Joe has to play well. But of course John wants Joe to be his guy and to be here for a long time. That frees him up. Now he doesn't have to draft a quarterback. Doesn't have to find one of these young guys in the draft. He can just rely on the old veteran and keep building this football team around the guy. But Joe has to do his part. Joe has to play well. And then John has to do his part. Keep putting good football players on the team around Joe Flacco. Joe's not going to put the team on his back.
Right. He's never been that guy.
That's not who he's going to be. So keep putting good pieces around Joe Flacco. Help him out. And we'll see how it plays out. Joe could be that guy that gives John the out of not having to draft a quarterback.
The out. The out.
Like, oh, whew. Thank you, Joe. I don't want to mess with these young college kids and trying to see which one's going to translate to the NFL game. Whose game is going to be able to, who's going to be able to make that jump and that transition? Nope. Thank you, Joe. Be that guy. So John would love to pay Joe 18, 20, 24 the next 3 years.
That's right.
Would love to.
That's right. Hey, said this before, say it again. Doesn't matter how you get your guy, just as long as you get your guy. Joe Flacco is the guy right now. We'll see if it holds up.
That's it.
We have more breaking Broncos news today. What kind of news is it? I'll let you decide next. So we got some news today within the last, call it, you know, hour or two.
Busy day today over there at UC Health.
Very busy day.
Getting stuff done on a Friday.
You mean Bronco Land?
Welcome to Bronco Land.
Holy cow. Is it Disneyland or something? Like,
wait a second.
Oh, right when he said it, I was like, come on, dude.
I think the whole room was in. Like, you know, we kind of like poked, you know, John through the years that like some of these like gaffes that he has, like, yeah, he's like almost like he's like the like Joe Biden of GMs, where he just like you know something's coming, it's just a matter of when. And it came today. It was Bronco Land.
Welcome to Bronco Land.
This is too funny.
I mean, when you say like land, I think like Toyland or Legoland or Disneyland, like Bronco Land. What? What is that?
You're sitting in it.
What is Bronco Land?
It's Bronco Land.
John.
Oh my gosh, too funny.
I don't know exactly what you're talking about.
Got everyone's name right, so that was a good thing.
Yeah. Yep.
Jeff Hierman. The Broncos have reached an agreement today with Jeff Hireman on a 2-year contract that has a max value of $9 million. Taking this from Mike Kliss, 9 News. Thoughts?
I think that said it all right there, the big sigh.
Give me another one of those.
There it is. I mean, that sums it up right there. Just like, I could yawn. I mean, just boring. Boring. I wanted more. I wanted an upgrade. We needed an upgrade. We needed more. So this tells me that...
Don't say it.
I don't know.
Okay, sorry.
All right. I don't know what I'm not supposed to say. Well, the free agent tight end market was down this year.
It was down.
Okay. So Jeff Hireman's actually hitting the market at a good time for himself. There's not many good tight ends available. And the few that are getting paid more than what they should make. And the Broncos have invested heavily in these other two guys. They don't have a lot to invest in a veteran tight end that's just average. That's not even a great tight end. That's what these guys are out that are on the market right now. So what do you do? What do you do if you're the Denver Broncos? You just go with the known. And you're like, okay, well, we have to have a veteran. They have to. They had Jake Butt and Troy Fumagalli, two young guys that really haven't played. I mean, Troy hadn't played at all. Jake's played a sprinkle full of games, but he can't stay healthy.
Right.
So what do? They were stuck in a bad spot. So then now they got to pay Jeff Hireman, you know, $4 million for this year. $2 million fully guaranteed. So they were in a bad spot. I mean, yeah. that's what this move tells me. And that's what it is. They were in a bad situation. They haven't drafted and developed tight ends well. And now you go and you sign a guy that's been injured his whole career. And you pay him this kind of money because there's no other options. That's really what it is. And will they draft somebody this year?
That's where I thought you were going.
That's where I was going next.
Okay. Let me ask you. You're going to ruin my day.
I don't want to ruin your day, Zach. It's Friday. Look, the sun's out. Snow's melting. It's beautiful. I don't even see a cloud in the sky.
It is gorgeous.
It is Friday.
It is gorgeous.
Bomb cyclone my tail.
That thing came and went, didn't it?
Yeah, that's what they do. Quick.
Does this mean that the Broncos are out on TJ Hockenson at 10th overall?
Oh, Zach. No, it doesn't.
Doesn't?
No. Not in the least bit.
My Friday just got better.
Yep. I didn't want to ruin it for you. But that's the truth. Look, no, heck no. I mean, if this guy is... If you're telling me this guy has the makeup to be one of these top echelon tight ends, and he's sitting there for you, and he projects to be this guy, and that's how you have evaluated him, then sure, yes, you take him. You don't say, no, we're going to pass on that guy because, we signed Jeff Hireman. Oh, come on. No. So he is still in play, 1,000% in play. Okay, so your day is still good day.
1,000%. I like that percentage.
Yes, he's still in play, and he should be still in play.
Okay.
I mean, wouldn't you think, like, if you're running the ship over there, you're not going to all of a sudden say, you know, TJ Hockenson's there and Devin White's gone, and you're like, Greedy Williams, we'll take a cornerback in the second round, and Hockenson's sitting up there. These offensive linemen, we think we got it figured out with Munchak and Bowl. He'll get Bowles right. We got Juwan James, and Hockenson's right there. I mean, you don't say, no, I pass on him, do you? Because you signed Jeff Hireman?
I would hope not. I would hope not. But here's my fear. Like, Troy Fumagalli is going to be here. Jake Butt's going to be here. Jeff Hireman is assuredly going to be here.
Well, let's back that thing up.
Okay.
Back it up. Beep, 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 beep.
Evans.
Yeah, beep, beep, Evans. That's right. I forgot about beep, beep, Evans. No.
Where did I lose you? With the Jake Butt? Troy Fumagalli?
Yeah, from the start.
From the start?
From Troy Fumagalli.
Even though you just drafted him last year?
Yeah.
You could just move on from him?
When we draft him? Fifth round? Sixth round? What round we draft him?
Something like that. Yeah, I think it's fifth, I would say.
He's not guaranteed a spot. They wouldn't want to cut him, but you're a fifth round pick. I mean, it's like, well, we don't have time to waste here. So if he's not showing promise, they could move on from him really, really quickly and really easily. And it's hard for me to say this, but Jake Butt, same thing. Same thing. When was he drafted?
Fifth round.
Yeah. So there you go.
They took a flyer on these guys.
Right. But that's what they both have to make this football team. They're not, just because their draft status, it doesn't mean they're on this football team.
Even from a year ago.
Yep.
Mm.
I mean, if he was a third round pick or second round pick, talking about Troy Fumagalli a year ago,
yeah,
he's on this team. Fifth round pick, dude. I mean, he's got to make this football team. Yep, he's got to make this football team. And now, look, I'm sure he'll get the benefit of the doubt if it's close with somebody else. But at the same time, he's not one of those guys. Well, he was drafted in the third round. He'll be here for at least a couple years. And Jake Butt, too, unfortunately. He's got to make the team.
Got to make the team.
Yep.
And if he can't, maybe switch positions, try making it into another room.
Yeah, maybe play like inside linebacker.
Why not?
We need help there.
You can play center.
Guard.
Yeah.
Play center. Bulk up.
Oh, my goodness. What would define success with Joe Flacco here in Denver? He answered that question. We'll hear it next. What would define success with Joe Flacco here in Denver? This is his response.
Winning football games. Listen, I've been in the league long enough that to know success is nothing but winning football games. I don't care if you're a young team, if you think you're rebuilding. You know, you go win 6, 7, 8 games, that's not success. I don't care. You know, like I said, I don't care what the expectations were from people. At some point, everybody's real expectations are to go win games and be in the playoffs. And then from there, see what happens and go win a Super Bowl. And, you know, that's what everybody's trying to do. And that's what I'm trying to do the rest of my career is win the Super Bowl.
I freaking love that on so many different levels. Love it. He's not running from it.
Nope.
Like, dude, I don't care what your expectations are. I don't care what phase you're in, if you think you're rebuilding or this or that. You win 6, 7, 8 games, and I'm glad he threw 8 in there. Glad he threw 8 in there for you.
I'm glad he threw eight in there for you. I didn't catch that.
He threw eight in there. He said, I don't care if you I don't care if you win 6, 7, 8 games. That's not success. So let's make it clear. You just heard it from the quarterback. Going from 6 wins to 8 wins and proving the football team by 2 wins? No. That's not what we're looking for here.
Yeah. You want to hear that from your quarterback. What's success? It's about going out there and winning football games. Getting in the playoffs. Go win a Super Bowl. I mean, and Vic kind of said that a little bit later on also. Like, success is about, you know, getting better every day and about winning games.
Right.
I can't put a number on it, you know, Vic said, but Joe's absolutely right. It's about going out there and winning games. And that's what you want to hear from your quarterback.
But you don't always hear, like, would Case Keenum, I don't want to pick on Case.
Go ahead.
But Case wasn't up there talking about winning a Super Bowl.
No, he was, thanks. He was still like, thanks, John. I just feels glad to hear John Elway call me the starter.
That's what he said. He said, John Elway just called me the starting quarterback. Just, you know, I'm pumped. I'm so excited. And we talked a little bit about this on Facebook Live, me, you, and D-Mac, that when Joe's up there, he's just being real. He's just being himself. When Case was up there, and we maybe didn't realize it exactly in the moment, so maybe some of this is retroactive,
right,
and maybe even to a degree unfair. But with Case, it always felt like he was projecting like what a franchise quarterback was supposed to be. Even after the season. Case, what'd you learn? I learned what it took to be a franchise quarterback. Joe Flacco went through that stage of growth 10 years ago.
Right.
This is just who the dude is.
He's a starting NFL quarterback.
And I would love to thieve the idea from my buddy and take it for my own, but I won't.
Why not? I just do it.
No, our buddy Ryan there, Konisberg. He didn't say it.
Yeah, Ryan's good.
I just thought of something that I want to share with you.
What do you think of, Zach?
When Joe was up there and you compare it to Case, you could do the same thing with Vic Fangio to Vance. Then when Vance got up there for the first time, it was trembling. It was, I've never been here before. It was like, I need to know the lay of the land. Like, oh, those lights are really bright. Who am I looking for questions? Like this is all new. When Vic got up there, it's like, what's up? I'm Vic. I'm here to run the football team. I've been doing this for a couple decades. You know, this just is what it is.
And where's the best Italian place to eat around here?
Right. I mean, honestly, I'm wearing sweats to this thing. Oh, I got to wear a suit. All right, get one for me.
Hurry up.
Let's get
this thing over with. I got to watch film.
Like, Vic was
That's a great analogy. You just came like unbelievable,
thank you.
Zach.
Thank you.
Look at you.
Thank you. But the parallels are so real. The parallels between the two are so real.
Yep.
Joe Flacco's up there. He's just being Joe, the franchise quarterback for the last decade that's won a Super Bowl. What defines success? Oh, 6-7 wins, that's not going to do it. Going to the playoffs, giving yourself a shot to win a Super Bowl. That's my goal, win a Super Bowl. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
And that's just who the guy is.
It is. He has been the guy for a long time, and he's won a Super Bowl. So that's who you're getting, and that's who they traded for. They traded for a NFL starting quarterback, a franchise quarterback at one time. That's who he was. So that's who you're getting. You know, what level will it play? We'll see. But you know all the other stuff. He checks off the boxes. And that was very evident. And you're right. His approach is spot on. He's not up there like he's in, just won the lottery. I mean, Joe's not acting like he won the lottery. Right? I mean, he's been the guy.
Right.
So it's not something new to Joe, like it was new to Case or new to some other people. Joe has been the guy.
There's no book dropping this fall.
No. Come on, Zach. What's wrong with dropping a book? Some people drop albums, some people drop books.
Right.
Speaking of, how did that Le'Veon album sound? Did anybody hear it? Did he drop it?
He dropped it.
Uh-huh.
I haven't put my ears to it.
Oh.
But word on the street.
Uh-huh.
It slaps.
Oh. Whoa. Is that not good?
That's really good.
Huh?
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, it's good thing. Huh?
It slaps. I asked.
Is that the word?
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Who are the gangsters?
Certain circles.
Wow.
I asked the question in the press conference.
Did Strawberry give you the rundown? Who's saying it slaps?
The kids.
The kids are, okay.
That thing is slapping.
Oh, wow. Is that a new term? I mean, you're using a lot right now.
I have the language of fortune.
I asked the question in the press conference. You know, I've never asked the question at Dove Valley. And it's interesting. We like talking to these microphones every day for our job. And it's different. Like, you hold that microphone. Yeah. It's like a lot.
I don't like doing it.
Some, like, nerves.
I don't like doing it. I usually asked D-Mac to do it until he threw me under the bus a year ago or whatever. Coach, Stokely said your practices are soft.
Are you cool with that? I have the veteran players, Brandon Stokely, i.e. Brandon Stokely. But I asked a question. You got cut nine there? About Flacco working with his new weapons in Denver.
You did great, by the way.
Thank you. This is what it sounded like.
What do you make of the pieces that you'll be working with offensively here?
Like I said, I mean, in the beginning, I'm really excited, you know, just from my running back there being a young guy, receiver being a young guy, you know, the fact that, you know, the staff seems to be really excited about the direction we're heading in on offense. I'm excited about it. Anytime you get to work with some young guys and really groom them and help them really become the players that they want to be, it's very exciting. I'm just noticing that Brandon's sitting next to you. I got to work with him on the back end of his career, so maybe I'm happier to work with Cortland on the beginning of his career. I don't know.
That was good. That was good on him.
Yeah, taking a shot. I think he's still mad at the ping pong matches that we had that didn't turn out in his favor. So still a little bit bitter.
Did you used to get
that.
The best one?
Yeah, you know.
Seriously?
You know, me and Dallas.
Yeah.
Me and Dallas take on him and Pitta. Oh, yeah, we had some good battles.
So it's like established teams.
Oh, yeah.
Like me and Dallas.
Yeah. I mean, that Dallas is my guy, you know, and him and Pitta, that's, oh, yeah, we had some good battles, some fun ones right there in the equipment room. bam, let's go.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I love
that. No, forget watching film. We don't need to know to forget watching film. Yeah. Maybe that's why we didn't make the playoffs that year. Maybe that's why I was hurt the whole year. Maybe that's why it was my last year. Too much damn ping pong.
You're like, I'm done. I'm done. But that was cool. That was really the only moment of levity. There wasn't like a lot of laugh there today. That was the only moment of levity. You get another shout out from another Broncos quarterback. So now I got Trevor Siemian shouting you out. Joe Flacco shouting you out. Pretty cool. Pretty
Peyton
cool.
Peyton Manning always, right?
Peyton Manning, yeah, right?
Him.
All right. There has been a word that has been thrown around here with Joe Flacco as it concerns him. John Elway said it. He was asked about it. And Joe Flacco talked about it. What word is it? We'll get into it next. John Elway got his guy. It's Joe Flacco, introduced today at the press conference live from Dove Valley. Shout out to our team. Shout out to our team covering that thing wire to wire. And when I say our team, D-Mac, our afternoon host, was there. You and I were there. Pritchard and Cecil anchoring the coverage from the studio. Raj Sharon, our PD, down there organizing everything, setting up the interviews with the Broncos. Johnny Love, Johnny Hart, our digital guy, putting everything out there on all social media platforms. Kendall. How do I say Kendall's last name? Is it Valenzuela? She has been amazing, helping us out with Instagram and everything like that. Just a tremendous Brian. Job. Rock and roll Brian.
Rock and roll. He's not, you can't call him Rock and Roll Brian. He cut his hair.
I know.
Like, he looks like,
I know.
Like
corporate Brian.
Schoolboy Brian. I mean, he got that high and tight, like, oh, Brian.
Schoolboy B.
Oh, what we call him now.
But we just did, I thought, a great job. Team effort, team lift.
Team lift. There you go.
Everyone Coach. Grab a corner. Yep. Lift this together.
On the count of three.
Real quick. I documented the whole day on Instagram.
Instagram story. I saw it. Hey, Kendall, can you do this? Hey, Kendall, can you do this? Like, she's trying to do five other things. Kendall, my Instagram story, just 10 seconds. 8 to 10. That's fine. Thank you. Like, every other minute, like, oh, my gosh, Zach, leave her alone. She's got other stuff to do besides doing your stinking Instagram story. Go ahead.
He said 8 to 10.
Zach's juice is rare.
That's what you told her every time.
I did.
Thank you, Kendall.
You can hit me up. You follow the whole day from, like, me walking to the facility, the pressers, Stoke and I, D-Mac and Stoke and I. You can check that out, ZBuy23. Okay. This is John Elway on why Flacco was the right guy for the Broncos.
Well, I mean, I think if we look what, you know, what we're going to do offensively with Rich coming in and the offensive, you know, philosophy and how we're going to go about it, and plus you look at the success that Joe's had and where we were just felt that, and the success that even though this is a different offense that has evolved, but also to know the success that Joe's had in the system that he had with Gary. And you know, obviously that's changed. But, that had a lot to do with it. You know, and I think that, again, getting a guy that I believe at 34 years old, as you're talking about, is still very young at the position that he's playing. And he's got a lot of experience, still has all the tools to make all the throws. And so, it really... turned out to be a perfect situation for us, and so we're glad it worked out.
He didn't say it right there, what he described it, but he didn't use the actual word that he's used twice in the last 24 hours. That's prime. And that's what he was describing there, that, hey, he's 34. He can make all the throws. He's got a lot of football left in him. He mentioned the word prime to James Palmer.
Yeah.
And he used it in another setting within the last 24 hours. I forget what the other setting was. But
what do you think about that, him saying Joe Flacco's in his prime?
Well,
what do you
that's
make of
fake
that?
News.
Evans, Wes beep, Driver.
Beep, beep.
What do I think about Joe Flacco in his prime?
Yeah, what do you think about John making that statement?
I think that John... If you don't think Joe Flacco was in his prime, then it's irresponsible to bring him here. I think you have to believe that that's the case. And when you look at him through 9 games just last year, and we went through some of the numbers, that he would have had a 2-to-1 interception ratio if you prorated it And he did it. He did in 9 games. That would have been the first time since 2014. He was on pace to only throw 10 picks. That would have been the least of his career. He was on pace to throw 4,400 yards. That would have been the most of his career. Like, Joe Flacco was playing damn good football through 9 games a year ago. So, yes, I do believe 34 years old in 2019, playing the game the way that Joe plays it, like playing the game, and that's important part of this thing, playing the game the way that Joe plays it, I absolutely believe that some of his best days are still ahead of him.
Yeah.
Am I naive?
No, I don't think so. I think you look at a guy and a quarterback that, you know, quarterbacks can play now easily, late 30s. I mean, that's nothing. So why couldn't he be entering his prime right now or be right there in the middle of it? I mean, that's what you're hoping, obviously, but at the same time, why not? It's not far-fetched to think that we're going to get the best Joe Flacco of his career. You know, you look at his numbers. I mean, it's not like eye-popping numbers. Why can't we get the best of his career here for another 2 or 3, 4 years, whatever it may be? Quarterbacks can play for a long, long time. And look, he looks like he's in great shape. He says he feels as good as he's ever felt. He pretty much had, you know, the last half of the year completely off. So why could he not be entering his prime?
Well, this is Flacco on Elway saying that he's entering his prime.
Oh, it feels good because I definitely feel that way. So it feels good to hear somebody say that. I mean, shoot, with Tom Brady now, quarterbacks are playing until they're about 60 years old. So, listen, I'm as healthy as I've ever been. I'm as physical as I've ever been. So, you know, obviously at any time something crazy could happen, but you know, barring anything crazy happening, I'm as healthy as I can be and as physical and ready to go as ever. So I'm excited about what lies ahead for me and my future. And I got, you know, I'm not putting a number on how much time I got left to play. I want to play as long as I can. And hopefully they're dragging me out of this building a long time from now.
Mm. I'm as physical as I've ever been.
That's a Bowles quote.
A what?
Bowles quote.
Who?
Bowles.
Garrett. Oh, okay. Yeah, because he said it twice, though, and I was, like, in the press conference, like, kind of looking around, like, is that just me, or is that not right? And is this not the right context for it, right? Like, I'm as physically fit as I've ever been, right? Just not, you don't just say physical, do you? I mean, I'm not one to judge, trust me.
No.
But, you know, when he just says I'm as physical as I've ever been, like,
yeah.
We're talking about football, like, physical, like.
I actually thought of it in the moment as he said that.
Okay, all right.
I'm as
so it's
physical
a little bit,
as I,
it's a little
I'm
bit
as,
off. Right?
I'm as physical as I've ever been.
A little bit off then.
Little
so we're
off.
On the same page.
A little bit off. A little
all
bit
right.
off.
Okay, perfect. I mean, I didn't. Not a big deal, but it just was like a little bit odd there.
A little bit odd.
Look, he's in great shape.
He's in great,
which
shape.
Which is great.
He said, "I'm as healthy as I've ever been," and that last part, like, so you and I talked yesterday. And you were like, look, Flacco's not going to get up there and sound like, you know, Brock Osweiler, where after you're done, you want to, like, run through a wall. That's not who Flacco is. But I said, man, I'm just hoping to hear slivers. I'm hoping to hear slivers of a competitor who's been spurned.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to hear a sliver of an edge. And when he said, like, that last part.
Hopefully they're dragging me out of this building a long time from now.
Hopefully they're dragging me out of this building. When? Long time from
right.
now. And I just, gosh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I'm with you. And when you look at him and you look at the possibility of playing, and you know he's thought about it, playing late into his 30s, I think change of scenery, change of teams will benefit that, will help that, will help him. You know, just kind of. Like, oh, y'all didn't want me over there? Y'all wanted Lamar Jackson? That guy can't even throw. Really? I won a Super Bowl a few years ago. I could still do that here. Okay, y'all cutting me? Y'all releasing me? All right, I'm going to show y'all. But at the same time, just being able to come here, a different place, different organization, it just gets those competitive juices flowing again that maybe you lost a little bit. Not saying that he did, but maybe you did. And you come to a new place and all of a sudden you feel like a rookie again. Like
right.
This is all new.
Right.
And you're like, all right, I want to get another 5, 6 years out of this thing. I can't wait to go, you know, and do something different and try something different. And sometimes that is a great thing for professional athletes. And I think it might be a really good thing for Joe Flacco.
Speaking of which, this is Flacco on if he's motivated by Baltimore letting him go and what else drives him.
Listen, I'm driven because this is what I love to do. I love playing football, and I want to be the best at what I do. Having said that, there's obviously little things each year that change that may add a little bit to the fire. But I'm really not trying to think too much about my past and why I'm here. I'm really just trying to be excited for the fact that I am here and the offense that we're getting ready to run and the team that we're getting ready to build. I couldn't be more excited about this being the place to make that happen.
You know, I really like that because he referenced this. He referenced this a little bit later. He's not putting an overemphasis on what happened in Baltimore. That's only going to give you a quarter tank. That's really not going to take you where you want to go. He's motivated by other things. This is Flacco. More on that topic.
Well, like I said earlier, I think the foundation of motivating somebody is just love of the game, wanting to be the best at what you do, no matter what that is. And year to year, yeah, there's things that motivate you. I mean, listen, when I was coming out of college and I had to transfer and, I was a small school quarterback, like obviously that probably went into a little bit of the motivation. Being in Baltimore for as long as I was and not being there anymore and how it ended, obviously there's probably going to be a portion of that motivates me. But I just, if I was relying on things like that to motivate me, that'd probably last for 1 week, and then I'd shut off. You know, my motivation really comes from wanting to be the best and just really loving the game, loving coming in this building and going out into that practice field and being with the guys.
That was good. That was really good, right? I mean, he's spot on. Look, I want guys that are competitors. They motivate themselves, right, because they just want to win. It's not all the things that happened to him or somebody that didn't draft him. That don't only go so far. And eventually that will run out. But deep down, who are you as a person? Like, do you love football? Are you a competitor?
Right.
Because if you're not, guess what? It fizzles out and goes away. So, hearing that from Joe, he's spot on. Look, you're only going to use that Baltimore stuff for so long. If that's not who you are, if you're not that guy that loves ball and loves to compete and loves to win, then, eventually it'll show up in that Baltimore stuff. They spurned you. They let you go. They didn't think you were good enough. That goes away. You need more than that. Who are you as a person? What drives you every day? But if you're going to use stuff like that, eventually it just kind of flames out.
It's temporary.
Temporary.
It's temporary.
Been looking great. For that word. About time. That's right. Good. It showed up like I was just rambling for 2 minutes. Looking for temporary, yes!
Sometimes I like to watch you like splash around and flounder.
All the time you do. All
and
the
like,
time.
Should I'm just throw like, him the vest now?
Help.
Should
help.
I throw him? Oh, he's swallowing water.
Help. Remember me. That? Help! Remember that? Help. I helped you right away.
You did. Well, my pecs were on the line.
All right.
I had real like muscle damage on the line.
I kind of still wish I didn't. I wish you to just like drop,
just drop
a little
the
bit. Yeah,
down.
Just a little bit on your throat. It would have been okay.
Remember that guy from USC did that a couple years ago?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, that's scary.
I didn't want you to do that.
Well, thank you
just
for not
just
letting that happen.
A little bruise.
All right.
Surgery.
Juwan James and Kareem Jackson. What kind of impression did they make on us? I want to discuss that. But first, what's up with that Denver snapshot?